Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
We're back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarlane on vacation, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe, and Marquise Munson here with you. Marquise has come up with a topic here that... we're going to give you a chance to win a $25 gift card to the Scoreboard Bar and Grill, which holds a spot near and dear in our hearts. We go way back with the Scoreboard out in the Opryland area. So, free stuff, as we like to say, right? And so we want you to participate in this by calling 737-1025. Do we want to open up the text line
Sure.
on this as well, Chase? We just want entries into this, so you can text 615- 737-1025 with the answer to this question in honor of Bobby Bonilla Day, where Bobby Bonilla and his agent came up with one of the greatest deals of all time. Essentially, in a nutshell, instead of the Mets paying him what they owed him, which was, you know, $5-point-something million, they deferred it, and he's getting $1-point-however-many-million every year from 2011 to 2015. And 35. And so, you know, we've reached basically the first decade of this being completed. So Bobby Bonilla every year, and people love to tweet and feel like the tweets get bigger every year. Like more and more people like to remind it. Like this might officially become a holiday, you know, before it's all over, Bobby Bonilla Day. You know, it just started off as kind of a funny thing. But now every year, every passing year, people really get excited to tweet out that he gets $1.193 million from the Mets. So it's led to this question from Marquise.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to say that. Oh, okay. So basically, the one time that your team overpaid for a player and they
just
didn't
made a flat out bad deal, is what
just
you're
just a
saying.
Bad
your
deal.
Your team made a horrendous deal and paid for it.
Yes.
Yes, pretty much.
You know, I don't know where to start with the Mets, right? They've had plenty of those for sure. But you Marquise, you put this question out there, so I don't know if there's something very clear-cut that came to mind for you.
Oh, yeah. There's easily. It was the first thing that popped up in my head. So with me, in 2016 in the NBA free agency, Kevin Durant, this is the year Kevin Durant went to the Warriors, so he was a free agent. LeBron James was also a free agent. DeMar DeRozan was a free agent. And Al Horford. Those were the big ones. There was a lot of free agents that year. And the Lakers were one of the favorites to get Kevin Durant and possibly sneak away LeBron James, which we end up doing anyway later on. And one of their other targets, if not Kevin Durant, was DeMar DeRozan. DeMar DeRozan's from California. That would have been a perfect fit for him. But instead... the Lakers, in true Laker fashion, signed a four-year deal to Luol Deng, who was way past his prime, and signed him for $72 million. $72 million for 4 years. And then on top of that, they get another big free agency in Timothy Mozgov, and they paid him $64 million for 4 years. And both of those players did not pan out well. I know for Mozgov, he only played that like 2016-17 season with the Lakers. And then Luol Deng, his contract stuck with the Lakers up until 2018. And they finally was able to get rid of it in 2018. And so we've had cap space issues and all that since then. And this is the year Kobe retired. So it's like, yeah, they were trying to up the ante on getting some free agents, but they end up getting Luol Deng and Timothy Mozgov, which was awful. So that's what came to my mind.
Okay.
Here's one that doesn't apply to my team, but I think of this every Bobby Bonilla day because the equivalent in hockey might be Mike Ribeiro and the deal he was able to swing from the Arizona Coyotes.
Okay, I'm surprised you went with that one.
Well, I'm going with this just because it's a little bit Bonilla-esque in some way. Not exactly the same thing, but what happened was the Predators signed Mike Ribeiro, remember, to a very economical contract. He was down and out. He had been bought out by the Coyotes. The Predators were coming off a year where they didn't make the playoffs. Remember, they were down and out. Barry Trotz was let go. They had come up a couple of points short. They made the change to Peter Laviolette. They desperately needed a little bit of offense. Mike Ribeiro, he's a lot of things, but he is a creative offensive player. They signed him to $1 million deal. So, and then of course he played well enough that he earned a second contract from the Predators. So he was getting paid by two different teams. He was getting checks for years because of the buyout from the Coyotes. So he was getting a paycheck from the Predators and the Coyotes, and the Predators were getting a bargain basement guy who was giving them some pretty good production. So I would imagine if you're a Coyotes fan, that would be something that would come to mind. The buyout of Mike Ribeiro was Bobby Bonilla-esque. So what do you have, Chase?
615-737-1025. You can call or text. A $25 gift card to Scoreboard Bar and Grill is on the line in honor of Bobby Bonilla Day. Just a contract that just killed your team that you hated and you still hate. Call us, and the best answer will win that gift card. Okay, so before I give you my answer, when you brought up a hockey one, that's not where I thought you were going to go. I thought you were going to, and this is just a grand example of this, but Rick DiPietro with the Islanders is one of those Bobby Bonilla-type contracts too.
Oh, my goodness.
$1.5 million that he's making until 2029.
So he's right there with Bobby.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that one.
Yeah, that was an unbelievable, because, you know, Bobby Bonilla was a lot of things, but he was a pretty solid player, right? He was pretty good. Rick DiPietro was injury-riddled from the start, never really had any run of good success, and so it was just mystifying that they signed him to that humongous contract when they did. You know, he was a risk to start with, but they signed him to a 15-year deal.
Yeah.
In 2006. So, you know, it's interesting. There are a lot of Mets fans who are also Islanders fans. So they're dealing with the Bobby Bonilla and the Rick DiPietro. So yeah. They have plenty of – they have to decide between the two in a lot of cases.
So here's mine. And to my knowledge, they're not still paying this guy. But I didn't like this player before he joined my team. I still don't like this player even after he joined my team and sucked. Dan Uggla.
Ooh. That's tough now.
That was an Uggla contract and an Uggla stint with the Atlanta Braves. They signed him in 2011 to a 5-year, $62 million contract, and he absolutely sucked. Look at this, Willie. 2011, batted .233, .220. 2013, he batted .179. And then finally, when they cut bait in 2014, he was hitting .162. And then they finally were like, we're done.
Boy, they let him try to work his way out of that for a long time, too. Remember, they kept playing him, and he struggled.
Well,
he just wasn't the same guy.
Because I remember
didn't he also have like a random 30-game hitting streak in there?
He did.
Which
he
made no sense at all because he was never that kind of hitter.
Yeah.
That would be known for a hitting streak. He was a power hitter. So that was an odd part of that history as well.
And he hit 36 home runs his first year in Atlanta, but then 19, 22, then
at least they got that out of him. I can think that there's probably some other contracts that didn't even get that type of production.
Right.
All right, so let's take a break. When we come back, I want to get a round of
we got a couple of texts.
Calls and texts. I know we've got some participants already, but you can win a $25 gift card to Scoreboard Bar and Grill with just sharing some of the pain that you've experienced in your life as being a sports fan. Bad contracts that your team signed to a player. Any sport. 737-1025. Call or text, and we will accept your answer. We'll read off the answers on the air, and the best one gets basically the free lunch, the $25 gift card. You can go to dinner as well at the Scoreboard Bar and Grill. 737-1025. We're back with more of Darren, Donick, and Chase in just a moment. All right. Keep it rolling. Worst contract, the biggest mistake, the biggest flub your favorite team ever made signing somebody to a contract that just wasn't smart. 737-1025, the best answer, the most creative answer. You can have a local take. It could be your favorite team, even if you're from another city. It could be a coach that your favorite college signed. Whatever comes to mind for you. 615-737-1025. Call or text, and you can win the prize. Just as a Met fan, another one that came to mind for me, guys, was, you know, the infamous, and a lot of people may not even remember this guy, but remember Jason Bay?
Oh, yeah.
He was a slugger for a long time, really good player for the Pirates, and then the Red Sox, and then the Mets signed him. And he had a bunch of concussion problems, and he just never did well at all. 4 years, $66 million in 2010. And, whew, he struggled. He had 6 home runs the first year, and then he had a concussion, and he just never was the same after that. So, I mean, some of it's bad luck. You know, at the time, it seemed like a good idea. But there are other – to me, the best answer, the winning answer for me will be somebody that the minute they signed the deal, you were like, what?
Right.
Why? Right? So what do we have so far?
Well, we got a ton on the text line. Make sure that you are putting your name when you text.
Yeah, put your name if you want to win the prize.
Some names we have, some names we don't, but make sure you put your name so I can give you proper credit. Was David Wright a bad contract with the Mets?
You know, I don't think there was anybody at the time that was sad that they signed him. He got hurt. Right, he had the degenerative condition in his back.
Yeah,
right, spinal stenosis. And you know what are you going to do? It's like with Jason Bay, right? But
sure.
You know, these things tend to happen to the Mets at a higher rate, it seems like, than anybody else. Why we have this question today to begin with, because of Bobby Bonilla, but that was just star-crossed, right? I don't know if I would put that as a champion winner. Like the Rick DiPietro was hard to defend the day that they did.
Yeah.
Right?
I think Albert Pujols was a bad deal too. The Angels.
I would have to agree with that.
Yeah.
That was just ridiculous money.
Marquise,
for sure.
I know you have one out of the NFL.
Yeah, so Oakland Raider fan here, and they've had a lot of bad ones, including their current coach. So I remember this is back in 2006. Aaron Brooks was the quarterback. He had a 2-year, $9 million deal. And see that? He finished the season as a starter 0-8 that year. 0-8. And he was replacing Kerry Collins. And they got Aaron Brooks because they passed up on another quarterback who is now going to be a Hall of Famer by the name of Drew Brees. And then our season was that bad that year that we had the number one pick overall. And do you know who we got with that number one overall pick?
Jamarcus Russell.
Jamarcus Russell.
The worst bust in NFL history.
So it was just a ripple effect of bad quarterbacks. And we passed up on Drew Brees because of his shoulder injury. And then all of a sudden he becomes a Hall of Famer. And we got stuck with Aaron Brooks, who was 0-8. And even though $9 million 2 years is not a lot, it's still, we passed up on Drew Brees for Aaron Brooks in order to get the first round pick just to get another bad quarterback in Jamarcus Russell. So just a ripple effect of bad quarterbacks.
Al Davis, RIP. All right, Willie, we got a lot of people that have texted in. That's how people want to participate, and you can always participate on our text line, 615-737-1025.
Yeah, and I would love to hear some candidates, some entries from the Predators and the Titans. You know,
there are some. Don't worry.
With all due respect to David Poyle and all of the general managers from the Titans, Floyd, you know, everybody's got them, right? So let's embrace it. Let's, you know, we're not trying to slam it. Just sometimes it doesn't work out.
So first one, Barrett and the Burrow, not my team, but Albert Haynesworth to the Redskins is way up there. I would agree. That was one of those.
Which one is that one?
Albert Haynesworth.
Oh, Albert Haynesworth. No question. The day they signed it, that was a question mark.
We have a no name. Submit your name, but I think this is interesting. They say giving Ryan Johansson $8 million a year. I'd say the jury's still
out on that.
I
don't think it's even close to winning the award.
No.
I think you could look at a lot of other Predator deals that were much more questionable than that.
Greg says it's not a bad contract now, but he brings up if Shea Weber retires in the last year of the contract he signed with the Predators, the recapture penalty hitting only 1 year could cripple the Preds. That's something that has come up a lot with the recapture penalty.
Right, and remember, that was the Flyers that orchestrated that contract, right? So that was not something that David Poyle Penn, it's the whole reason that they traded. I don't know if it's the whole reason, but it was a big reason they were willing to trade Shea Weber. It was the contract.
Right.
But, yeah, that there's no question that that contract was very poorly constructed, and it was for a reason, right? They knew they had to make it so bad for the Predators and so burdensome that maybe they wouldn't match the offer, right? They wouldn't sign the offer, you know, match the offer sheet so that Shea Weber would have to stay in Nashville. The Flyers' strategy was like, they're never going to go for this. This is so bad that the Predators will just let him come to us, and we'll deal with it.
Here's another one, no name, but so submit your name. Brock Osweiler, $72 million to a guy they never met.
Ooh,
and had to trade a second-round pick to get rid of him.
Oh, my gosh. Brock Osweiler is right up there. That's a good one. Too bad the person didn't give their name.
So
they're not going to win the prize.
Oh, Rusty just got me right.
615-737-1025 if you want to participate in this.
Rusty just got me right in the heart. He goes, Chase, it's Rusty. I'm surprised that you didn't pick the Melvin B.J. Upton Jr. contract with the Braves. Yeah. Well, that ended up being a trade, but that B.J. Upton or Melvin Upton.
Well, they signed him to the deal, and then they had to trade him.
Yeah, right.
Just to get rid of him. Oh. And they had to they had to give up a lot, right? That was Kimbrel. I'm trying to think of all the pieces involved with that. But that was a bad idea.
Because the joke for a while was, how do you replace Chipper Jones with two Uptons? Because they got both the Uptons after he retired. And at the time, it looked good to have both, you know, have the Upton brothers playing for the Braves, but yeah, that didn't work out. Saul says Kyle Turris. Okay, I mean, I don't think you can really. I mean, that's one that's definitely in consideration right now, even though Kyle has played better under John Hines. So still, the jury is out there.
He has not lived up to that contract.
No,
it was a sensible at the time. Of course, they signed him to the deal before he ever played a game with the Predators. That was what the commitment had to be to pull that deal off. So that one's TBA, but it's not looking good right now. I'm trying to think of other ones for the Titans and the Predators that we're overlooking. 615-737-1025. Here's one from the past. How about Mike Hampton, who the Mets rode and had an outstanding year in 2000. They got to the World Series. He was instrumental. He had a huge LCS against the Cardinals. The Mets get to the World Series. He goes to the free agent market and signs a massive deal with the Rockies. 8 years, $121 million. And that wasn't good. That didn't go well.
No.
He was brutal for them. Remember, they signed him and Danny Nagel?
Yeah.
At the same time, they invested all this money, and neither of them were the least bit effective in Colorado.
Here's another one with no name, but worse signing, the Jets, quote-unquote, signing Bill Belichick. Obviously, we know how that happened. He got signed, and then like a day later, it goes, nope, I'm out.
Oh, that was brutal right there. That's in its own separate category for sure. Hockey fans will know Mike Richards of the Flyers. That was a bad deal that they tried to get out of for years after they signed it. 12 years, $69 million in 2007. And, you know, he was just not that level of a player by that point.
We got a bunch more, Willie. They're just
keep them going.
In.
Keep them rolling.
Kyle says worst contract would have to be the Jacksonville Jaguars signing both Blake Bortles and Nick Foles to huge contracts and then just to get rid of them within a year. That's true.
Boy, didn't go very well, did it?
No. I don't know if I agree. John says the Colts elected to continue to pay Andrew Luck after he retired and they weren't contractually obligated to. I mean, that's just a nice thing to do. I don't know if I'd consider that like a worse. Here's a good one. Nate from Jackson, terrible deal for the Cowboys. Not only did they trade a first, third, and a sixth for Roy Williams from Detroit, but then gave him a five-year, $45 million extension. Yeah, that did not work out.
Who would be the candidate? I'm thinking Yancey Thigpen. Maybe one of the
for the Titans.
Titans, well, maybe okay. Andy LaVitre.
Oh, Andy LaVitre.
Big investment went completely awry after.
Ben makes a good one. Ben makes a good submission, and Chris Johnson. You got everything out of Chris Johnson before the contract, and then right. He got the contract, well, and you didn't get it anymore.
Right. That went wrong from so many directions. They didn't agree to it till right before the first game. He didn't get any training camp. He shows up and plays the first game and just was never the same after that. So I would have liked to have seen what they had done if they had gotten it done on time.
Yeah.
I think they could have squeezed another good year or two out of him before it just, you know, was a total bust. But yeah, that was a bust. There's no way around it.
Here's your
result. It seemed like a good, I mean, you had to pay him, right? You couldn't just let him walk. He was the best running back in the game at the time.
Here's your Predators one, Willie. I'm surprised neither one of us have brought this up yet. Victor Stahlberg.
Victor Stahlberg is a good one. That just never was good.
Yeah. Submit your name. That's a good one.
They bought him out. That's a good submission right there.
Here's another one. Submit your name. I hope that Ricky Merritt and Ryan Porth aren't listening to this one. Homer Bailey, 6 years, $105 million. ERA in those six seasons. He had a 3.71, then a 5.56, a 6.65, 6.43, 6.09, 4.57. Reds traded two of their top prospects just to get rid of him.
Yikes.
Homer Bailey is definitely one of those. He's still in the league, though. Where is he at now?
Homer Bailey,
Kansas City?
He might
City?
Still be with the Reds.
No.
You're right. Did he go to the Royals?
Homer Bailey is with the Twins.
The Twins.
He's with the Twins.
It's still that contract.
He left Cincinnati for Kansas City, then Oakland last year, and then now he's with the Twins.
Any last submissions? Here was a candidate that was brought up on a website that had this topic. Jay Cutler, that last contract he signed with the Bears.
Yeah. No, that's a good one. Dave says...
That was a great dilemma at the time.
Dave says Mike Milbury giving Alexi Yashin a huge 10-year deal when he was GM of the Islanders after trading Zdeno Chara.
Oh, that's a good one. The Alexi Yashin is definitely one of the most lampooned contracts outside of the Rick DiPietro. And of
course, Milbury do the DiPietro
deal? What's the common
deal?
Thread? Yes.
He did? Yeah, there you go.
I think so, yeah.
I couldn't remember.
Oh, my. All right, so who's the winner? I have my candidate for who the winner is. I mean, it would have been Brock Osweiler, but the guy didn't give his name.
Yeah. David Givens. Julian says David Givens.
That was a debacle.
That was Floyd, wasn't it?
It was, and it, you know, David Givens was at his best, a great player, but there was a weird knee issue that he had that they ended up hashing out all kinds of issues away from the game about. It went on for years, I think, in court about information there. And so it was he went like 4 for 5 that year, Floyd Reese, on quality signings.
Right.
You know, in that whole class, he had David Thornton, he had Chris Hope, he got Kevin Mawai, he had Kyle VandenBosch in there. He was on he'd made some really nice pickups, and that seemed like another perfect guy to bring in. David Givens had had great success with the Patriots, but man, he never did anything for the Titans because of his knee.
Yep. Also got a vote for Matthew Lombardi with the Preds. Only played 2 games.
Ooh, that might be the winner for the Predators. That very
Al
unfortunate.
From Smyrna.
Got a concussion in like his second game as a Predator, and then was useless. He just couldn't play. He couldn't get over the concussion thing, and they ended up moving his contract just to get rid of it, right? And had to give up an asset with it. I think they traded Cody Franzen with him just to rid themselves of the contract. That was a bummer. Again, some of these are just unfortunate circumstances that you could not have foreseen.
The
Victor
Greg,
Stahlberg one could be a winner, too.
Greg says Andre Rison in Cleveland.
Oh, 95. Boy.
So my vote would either be Al from Smyrna with Matthew Lombardi or Anthony in Clarksville with Brock Osweiler. We can discuss during the break and then announce our
okay.
Winner.
All right. We'll each give our vote, and then Marquise can break the tie, and then we'll announce it on the other side. And we'll bring in Joe Dubin, and we will talk about the TSSAA meeting today and what it means for high school sports in the fall coming up. Stay tuned. This is 102.5 The Game, ESPN Radio Nashville. We're back here on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Chase McCabe, Marquise Munson here with you today. Darren McFarland on vacation this week. Big doings today as the TSSAA had a big meeting to try to figure out what to do about the fall sports, given the fact that our governor has put out basically a state of emergency. No activities as a result can be done involving contact sports until at least August the 29th. So what do you do about high school football? What about girls soccer? They discussed that today. Before we get to Joe Dubin, who has been paying attention to this, always grew up here, played at McGavick High School, always has had a huge love of high school football. Back in the day, used to have a great Friday night show that Chase was a big part of. That did all of the scores. And, of course, if you watch him, he has always covered high school sports in a big, big way. But, Chase, who is the winner of our contest? Are we going with the Matthew Lombardi submission?
We are.
For our winner of worst deal?
Yes, Al from Smyrna. And he came in under the wire, too. So Matthew Lombardi, that one played – he really did. He played like 4 quarters, a game and a period, and got hurt and never played for the Preds again. So that's a good one. So Al from Smyrna wins.
All right, Al. Thank you very much. So let's begin. Let's bring in Big Joe on the go.
Joe,
welcome to the show. Good to have you
it's
on.
Good
with
to
us,
be
of
back
course.
On, boys. Thank you very much. Really good to hear your voice. And yes. Chaser. It's always good to hear you, buddy.
Thank you so much. All thank right. you so much. I have enjoyed
Joe Dubin with the.
I've enjoyed watching
go
you
ahead,
and Beasley in the mornings. That has been just fantastic and so entertaining. Justin Beasley growing up before our very eyes.
Chase, you haven't seen 6 o'clock in the morning in probably 15 years, but I appreciate you, though, but for doing that.
No, but I've seen Twitter.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, have you recovered, Joe, from the spill you took at the bounce, or one of those bouncy places where you tried to leap over the obstacle and you had the legs taken out?
Well, the thing is, you're trying to time it, and you got a producer talking to you, and you're trying to get it correct to go to the break, and then I just misjudged my jump, and then my left foot hit the backside of the little bullseye thing they got, and I went straight down. But you know what? If you watch the tape, I held onto the microphone. So I'd have been a good running back back in the day. I held on to the most important thing that I had was the microphone. But those things are fun, man. It's all, the second we stop being a kid is the second we stop living, right?
Well, there's no question about it. Joe Dubin, from Channel 4 with us here. And so, Joe, as we mentioned, you've always been a big champion for high school athletes. And, you know, being a kid, as you mentioned, this is such an important thing that everybody's paying attention to for all these high school athletes out there. What did you take out of, in general, what was discussed today under the circumstances, trying to do the best they can to get this season in?
Let me tell you what, I loved it. Because what they've done, they've given everybody hope. There was not always things, we're going to flip-flop the spring schedule or we're going to cancel everything. They've given people hope, man, and they could postpone it, they could push it. That's fantastic because the dead period ends this weekend. Guys will start practicing next week. So remember, there's no 7-on-7, no contact, but you can still do weightlifting. You still can do conditioning. If you ask any coach around, and I've talked to a lot of them, it's about being with the boys. It's about having them back under, being around them, being in the environment. We've all spent time in locker rooms. You know how great of an environment that can be when it's really good with these guys. So we've got hope. I mean, there are three scenarios for the high school football season. The first, and I like them all. Again, I'm going to mention the word hope the entire time because it's given everybody hope. The first one is the first proposal. There's three of them. Was a 7-game season, and then you have a full 5-week playoff. Now, this is being pushed back to mid-September, like September the 18th, that weekend. It's supposed to start August 21st. You're just pushing it back a month. So you'd start in September. You'd have 7-game season, full 5-week playoff. You'd be pushed things back just a little bit. That's fine. The second proposal, 8-game season, 4 weeks of the playoff, and you drop the first round of the playoff. I don't mind that either because, again, it's given us hope. I love this last proposal, though. You have a 9-game season, and you have 3 weeks of the playoff. Only the region champion gets into the playoffs. Now, for all of us that grew up here in Middle Tennessee and played sports, this is how it used to be. You did not become the number 4 team and get in. You had to win your district to get into the playoffs. That meant every game that you played was valuable. So this scenario, the last one, 9 games, you're still, if you go 0-9, you go 0-9, you still play the 2 extra games instead of the 7 games. So you fight every Friday night for that right to get to the playoffs. I like that scenario. But again, they just pushed it back. They did not postpone it. I mean, they did not cancel it, which I love. But these three scenarios, I like the third one, the 9-game season, 3 weeks of the playoff, and then region champions only advance. That's the way I like it.
Yeah, we almost kicked around our own little debate on it today, Joe. And I think Bernard Childress today, correct me if I'm wrong, he presented it to everybody and he said, I don't want you to vote on it today. I want you to process it. You're just hearing this for the first time, all of the options there that you laid out. And so I guess they'll reconvene and then decide which way to go.
Yeah, he's going to talk to the governor's office because I think the governor had to extend the emergency stay, and I understand all that. And that's kind of a big blanket with what he did with that. So to get to the governor and say, all right, let's make a few exceptions on the way. Maybe high school football and the fall sports, we can make an exception for this and start a little bit back on. Whatever they do now is great. But, again, Bernard Childress, these guys did a great job. I'm so thankful the 9 people there on the TAA board, they're willing to listen to all these proposals and grant those kind of three what they have, the proposals right now to look into. They're not going to cancel, which I love. Again, so they can talk to the governor's office, see if they can figure something out. If the governor's office says, you know what, we're going to keep it the way it is, that's fine too, guys, because then we'll vote on the three proposals and figure this out, and then we'll go from there. So there's a lot of pessimism this morning as I followed Tom Crager a lot on this stuff. We talk constantly about high school football, and I like it. I was really afraid they're going to say, you know what, we're just going to cancel it, be done with it, but I like this. We'll talk to the governor's office. Even again, if the governor's office says we're going to keep it the way it is, that's fine. That's fine because these guys can still have weightlifting. They still have conditioning that's coming up. They're still together as a team, and they're still that's allowed. And then we'll figure out how it goes down the road. So I like what we got right now.
So, Joe, just quickly, too, on sports not related to high school football here, some of the sports, golf, cross-country, and volleyball, will be able to play as scheduled, correct?
That's what I'm gathered, yeah. So now it's the pushback of girls' soccer and of football for right now. But, you know, this all could change tomorrow, this afternoon, whatever. But as of right now, you're correct, Willie.
Right. And the girls' soccer has been pushed back. They're going to try and give teams the opportunity to reschedule games that can't be played. I believe, though, that if I heard this correct, they can still do some workouts if the protocols are met. So hopefully they can start playing the games as soon as they get the green light to play around September the 1st. But hopefully they'll be able to make the measures to get those games in as well, because obviously there's great girls soccer in our area.
Oh, girls soccer is huge. And it's absolutely. And that's the thing, is that with girls soccer, if they even post, if they push it back to the spring, I know it runs into a lot of problems with the boys soccer, but still, you're still playing. Those kids are still in school. And that's the thing. That's what I hated, Willie, so bad about what happened in spring, are these kids who played softball and baseball, they lost their senior season. And I hated it for them. But for girls soccer, they push it back to the spring, they still get to play. So that's a good thing with this. So I'm happy with that. I hope they can play in the fall. They push it back to spring. That's okay, too. You feel bad for the seniors who just left, their softball, and even the teams that went to the state basketball tournament did not get to finish. But at least this way with girls soccer, if they postpone it, they could play in the spring.
Big Joe Dubin from WSMV Channel 4, News 4, still getting used to that, here with us on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So, okay, you've got me, because when we talked about these three scenarios earlier, you know, I didn't necessarily love scenario three, but then you reminded me, you're right, that is how it used to be. And I'm not one of those that says, okay, well, everybody gets a trophy, everybody gets in, because how many times on the Game Blitz do we talk about a 2 or 3 win team getting into the playoffs? And we had those coaches on that said they hated it, but they didn't like that. So I'm not necessarily saying that of having that, but I guess I've gotten used to having some wild cards in there as well. So, but
yeah,
you do have
and those teams can, under this scenario, could play 2 additional games. I really like that idea. That might be a better experience for those kids.
Well, I totally agree. I mean, if you look at the first scenario, where it's a 7-game season, full 5-week playoff. You know, some of those teams won't get in the playoffs and their season's over. But this 9-game, I mean, this is why I love college football so much, because every game on a Saturday matters, right? The Titans could go 9-7, still get in the playoffs, no big deal. But in college football, you lose 2 games for the most part, you're done. You're out of it. That's why every game is important. In this third scenario with the 9-game season, every game's important. That was how it was back in the day. If you had to win your district to get to the playoffs, and everybody knew if you came in second, well, you should have come in first because you're not going to go to the playoffs. So I like this. And plus, it gets the other 2 games going. Now, not everybody's going to make the playoffs, obviously, but you get the 2 extra games. So I like that scenario more than any other scenario that's out there. And again, hope. We've got hope that the season's going to be played. They push it back a month. That's okay. And then, you know, Cookville does a wonderful – some question was about that Bernard Childress brought up about, you know, will we have enough volunteers in Cookville in late December to pull this? Hell, I'll go up there and do it. I'll volunteer. As long as these kids get a chance to get on the field and perform, I'm all for it. And that's what I like about this.
Yeah, and here's the other aspect of this, because this is why I didn't like, you know, swapping with spring or moving it to February, because recruiting is a thing, and you have to consider that of a lot of these guys probably won't play at the next level, but some of them will, and we've talked about a lot of big names over the years, Joe, of their senior season means everything, and the difference between, you know, going to big school, to a small school, or what have you. So that's why I think this is important, too, of trying to get this in during the fall, because then you're staying in the normal recruiting cycle with college football.
I totally agree with you. You keep it even the norm. You're playing football in September, October. And look, here's another thing. I'm not a fan of high school football in mid-August because it's 1,000 degrees, right? I'm selfish that way. So I don't mind pushing it back just a little bit because you get out of the kind of the massive heat that's happening there and you play that way. And maybe this is something they do going forward. I mean, I'd love, you know, a late Saturday in Cookville in December to have the high school football championships and play it through the first week of December. And, you know, other states, I think Georgia has theirs in mid-December. You know, we do ours the first weekend of December. So other states do this as well, which is fine. I like the fact that there's these different proposals out there, scenarios. They've done their homework. Obviously, they've got input from high school coaches around the area, and those are the ones that know this. And so hopefully we can keep these kids safe, kind of put the virus a little bit behind us. That gives us now 60 more days to kind of figure things out a little bit and make sure everything's okay, everything's safe, and we can go forward with this.
Have you looked at this from two aspects? Of one, that you've been a huge supporter of high school football. You love high school football, a media member, but you're also a parent. I mean, your son he's not to high school yet, but he plays football, plays middle school football. Have you tried to balance of looking at it from both ways?
That's great. That's Chase. That might be your best question you've ever had. So rack that up, Marquise. Take that down. you're right, because I am selfish, because I love high school football and what it did for me and what it meant for me, what it means for a lot of people. Now my son is now approaching that too, and I've seen the excitement and the disappointment and getting yelled at by coaches and everything that goes through the emotions of playing a sport, and I love it for him, and I love it for these kids. So, yes, I want these guys to play, and I understand it's got to be done safely, and I understand that. And high school football is a big part of our lives, man. We all love it. We all remember Friday nights going back. And so we do this safely. We get it done. And as a parent also, you know, I want it to be done safely too as well. Make sure everything is covered and all the protocols are met going forward. So, yeah, it's a thing of like, let's do this, but at the same time, wait, make sure my son's safe, everybody's safe, and then let's do it that way. So, yeah, it's a kind of a two-pronged attack on that. But, again, I see it, the positive in both sides. I was not at 10 o'clock this morning when they had that meeting started. I was prepared for the worst. For these kids, for these coaches, just the heartbreak, they're working so hard and everything. But now those three proposals roll out, I feel much, much better. And again, I'm going to applaud the TSSAA and Mr. Childress and all them for putting these scenarios on the table, working with the governor's office, make sure everything is covered, and let's have some football this fall.
Joe, good to talk to you. Thanks a lot for giving us your perspective, having followed that meeting this morning. And we'll keep our fingers crossed, like everybody else and everything else, right, that we can get these games in, especially for these kids.
Absolutely, boys. Thank you. Anytime. I appreciate it.
Thanks, JoJo.
All right. Joe Dubin, Channel 4. Of course, longtime follower of high school sports in this area. Of course, former co-worker of ours here on the game. One of the originals, right,
yeah,
on the game back in the day. We're coming up on that anniversary, aren't we?
We are. We are. End of August.
Yeah. 2011. End of August. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you and I started, as an intern like a week after you signed on with Joe with our afternoon show, The Sports Revolution. Joe had been doing the Joe Dubin podcast leading into like 2 o'clock, I guess it was. But then you and Joe did The Sports Revolution, and I was an intern on that show, and now look at me. The rest, as they say, is history. But working with you and Joe at the beginning was a lot of fun.
So once again, here's in a nutshell what the meeting was today. Basically, with contact sports, there will be no games played prior to August 29th. So for specifically girls soccer and football, you can't play games. It's gonna mess with the schedule there, because normally there would be games played in August for those two sports, and those are contact sports. Cross country on the boys and girls side, golf, boys and girls, and volleyball will be played as scheduled for now. So what they're trying to do is compress the schedule for high school girls soccer. Remember, the boys play in the spring, so they're not affected by this yet. They can practice, but they can't play games until after August 29th, as it stands right now. They're hoping to be able to give the coaches enough time to reschedule games that would be otherwise played in August. So now we get to the football, where the proposal would be that you would practice for 3 weeks. And as Joe said, listen, we've talked about some serious heat issues that have gone on.
Yep.
In our area, as each year passes by, it seems like it gets hotter. That's not the worst thing in the world, to not be practicing in August. And so it might be a little bit cooler by then. And then you would start the season on September the 18th. Now, you would have to compress it in some form. So they have three proposals where you would play a revamped 7-game season and keep the regular 32-game postseason in each classification. That's Proposal A. Proposal B would be you would play 8 games in the regular season, then take away the first round of the playoffs, and you would have a 16-team bracket. And then the proposal C would be you play 9 regular season games, only the region champions advance to the postseason, and you have an 8-team postseason bracket. And then you would have measures for teams who don't make the postseason to be able to play 2 additional games in scenarios A and B. You could, you know, just have 2 extra games on the schedule that you would play, which I think could be a really cool thing. They have to work it out with Cookeville on you know, making sure the venue is ready and prepared if they have to change the date there. But Chase, I like proposal B myself. I like the 8 games where, you know, teams could grab a couple extra games in there that didn't make the postseason. And I think 16 teams in each classification is more than enough to have a good playoff.
Yeah, because I never have like 32. But Joe did get me thinking on 3, but I still tend to be with you and I lean towards 2. So I will say this, if they go with that, if, you know, especially 2 or 3, but really any of them, that's a positive because that means they're playing. That means they're playing high school football. So I like that they have, I like that they have that, these proposals in place, and that hopefully they will figure it out and be able to play some high school football, because as Joe was saying, we all know how important that it is and how it's a big part of our community.
All right. Give me the news on Nashville SC before we wrap it up and get ready for Chris Mason at 1.
So Kayla Anderson of News 2 tweeted this out that, and she was quote tweeting Sam Stiskel, who covers soccer for The Athletic. Nashville, which was supposed to travel to Orlando today, has pushed its flight to tomorrow, according to multiple sources. Club had a positive test on Tuesday. The positive still needs to be confirmed with a follow-up. And, of course, they're scheduled to play Chicago on July the 8th. So Nashville SC was supposed to leave today. Looks like it'll now be tomorrow.
Well, let's just hope that there's not any further delays with that. And, boy, you always hope for good news with that. So good stuff.
Yep.
We'll take a break. When we come back, Chris Mason will join us. We'll talk a little hockey. The Predators are actually on the ice right now. The first day of practice in the workouts leading up to the official beginning of training camp, hopefully, on July the 10th. Stay tuned. We'll tell you more about it in just a moment. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.